Hey, this is Springer of AboveTopSecret.com. The Rabbit Zone show that you are about to experience is brought to you in high definition, Dave Rabbit Audio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Rabbit Zone with your host tonight, Dave Rabbit, as always. And we're going to be showcasing an artist that I just absolutely fell in love with when I first heard them when I was doing the Rabbit Hard Rock shows. The band is called Lochinvar. Lochinvar was formed in 1987 by female vocalist Paula Blade and guitarist Steve Rabler. The band's name comes from a poem by Sir Walter Scott. The band's first recorded appearance is on the album 12x12, which is a compilation recording of local Dallas, Texas bands, my hometown. Videos were made for the songs The Untamed Child and Stealing the Fire in 1988. Lochinvar also appeared on Dallas Music Videos that same year. In 1989, guitarist John Walker replaced Steve. The band recorded two label demos at this time, one at SoundLogic Studios and the other at Planet Dallas Studios with Rick Rooney producing. In 1990, the song One More Tear was played on Dallas radio station Q102 FM. Also, Lochinvar performed five songs live on TV for the show Fourth Row Center. Lochinvar has opened for many major label bands, including Starship, Lillian Axe, April Wine, and played venues all over Texas and Oklahoma. Paula also has released two CDs as a solo artist, Burning Bridges in 1999 and The Awakening in 2000. The first Lochinvar CD was released in 1999 through mp3.com. It was titled It Came from the 80s. This CD consisted of material from the SoundLogic and Planet Dallas recording sessions and was originally intended as a keepsake for the band members. However, soon after its release, the band began to see a lot of demand from overseas, particularly in Germany and Sweden. So in early 2001, the CD was repackaged and re-released as Lochinvar, with new artwork and three bonus live tracks. The CD is now out of print. Also in 2001, encouraged by the response to the Lochinvar CD, John and Paula began writing songs for the next CD, which would become Fire Eyes. A new band was assembled in 2002 to record the album. What originally was planned to take a couple of months ended up taking 3 years, as the band ended up doing all of the recording and engineering themselves. John ended up playing 90% of the instruments on the album, all of the drums, bass, guitar, and many of the keyboard tracks. Paula provided her powerful vocals and some different twists on the lyrics. A friend of John's, Jeff McMullen, was brought in to help record vocals, mix the album, and provide keyboards for many of the songs. Jeff's keyboards added a new dimension to the band's sound. In 2005, the second CD, Fire Eyes, was released. The first pressing quickly sold out and had to be reordered several times. Their website is www.lochinvar.net. That's LochinVar.net. I think you're really going to have a great time. You know, those of you that are fans of the old Dave Rabbit show from Saigon, Vietnam, may remember that there was one song that I played, and I'm almost sure it was Blood Rock. I prefaced the song by saying, here's one to cut your stereos up full blast and blow that MF out in the other room. This kind of music that you're going to hear tonight is exactly that kind of music. The kind that you want to crank it up and just blow your neighbors off the streets. So I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. I know I did, with both Paula and John, and it was a great interview, and this is absolutely great music, and I think you're going to fall in love and become, just like me, a Lochinvar fan. Okay, let's get to it. Okay, I'm just excited to tell you that I have been dying, waiting for this interview to take place with the band called Lochinvar. And the reason is because when I was doing my hard rock shows, I came across a lot of bands. I did 37 shows times six bands, so you can figure the math on that. I don't have a calculator handy, but I'll guarantee you, this band absolutely blew me away. And one of the reasons it blew me away is because for the first time since Pat Benatar, Stevie Nicks, Janis Joplin, Grace Slick, I found a female rocker that absolutely blew my world apart. Hi, Paula Blade. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Well, I'm not doing too bad, and we got John Walker on. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, not too bad for a kid. Paula, you actually created Lock and Bar, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so how long ago was it that you started the band?
Well, it was eons ago. It was 1987, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Well, 87, let's see. Boy, yeah. That's... Yeah. 87.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, I know about the bio, and we've already talked about the bio on the beginning of your show tonight, but, you know, kind of lead me through the process. I mean, you know, it's, you know, you obviously it was formed like 86, 87, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. What was your roots, Paul? I mean, when you finally get to a point, I mean, where were you in your life that you can remember that you said, this is what I want to do?
Well, actually, I was a freshman in college, and, I had always been interested in singing, and I had sang in high school and in church, actually. And in college, I really started singing solos and doing things, but I started going out to the rock clubs and seeing these awesome bands, and I started auditioning for these bands for fun to see if I could cut the mustard, so to speak. And I started getting their attention and winning these auditions. And these were touring bands. And I was like, uh-oh, you know, and then I would say, oh, well, you know, I'm in college and I can't go with you, blah, blah, blah. And they'd be going, man, why'd you even try out? But I was just trying to see if I could do it or not. I was into music and I always loved to sing, and it was a dream ever since I was a little girl that's what I was put on this earth to do. And then it went from there, and then I noticed and became a writer. I don't say noticed, but I started writing when I was in grade school, writing little short stories, and then it became poetry, and then that turned into songs. So it's always been in my life.
Wow. Man, that's unbelievable that it goes back to that bit. And the thing I love about it is you're trying out for the bands, and then I'm saying, yeah, you're hired, and you go, well, I can't go.
Right. Such a silly girl.
Yeah, kind of a tease there, Paula.
Yeah, I know. Well, actually, you know, I never really thought that I would get hired. I just wanted to see what they thought of my voice. I thought I was pretty good, but, you know, it's a different story when you get on the stage and you're playing with an actual live band, and I wanted to see if I could do that. And because I sang all the time in these little college soirees, you know, in the choir and whatnot, and in a high school choir. And you just never know. But I always was into rock and rock and roll. And I was like, well, let's see if you can really do it, you know. So that was my training ground, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I'm with you. John, how about you? Do you remember the time that you really first got interested in music?
Well, it goes back. The earliest thing I remember was being 6 or 7 years old, and I used to lay up on top. We had one of those old, do you remember the TV sets that had the record players in them?
What do you mean, do I remember them? I have one.
Yeah, well, we did too. And I used to lay on top of it, and I was, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, and I'd put on the Beatles albums. My mom had a bunch of the Beatles albums. I think it was like Beatles 6, and she had Sgt. Pepper, and I'm trying to remember what the other one was. But I used to put these things on, and I'd just sit there and watch the thing go around, you know, up on top of the record player, and I'd sit there and listen to it. And my older brother was really into music also, so it was just always around. And then when I turned 12, I just decided I wanted to play guitar. So I started playing guitar, and then I saw Kiss on TV in the Paul Lynde Halloween special. I bet a lot of guys my age would probably tell me exactly the same thing.
Oh, shoot.
I saw that, and I went, okay, this is what I want to do. You know, so from that point on, it was, okay, if we're going to play guitar like Ace Frehley. And just went from there, you know, and just kept working at it in high school. And then also, had the usual assortment of college bands and stuff like that. So it was just something I just always kind of did. And I've said many times, I wish I could quit because it'll drive you crazy. You know, just it's like it's in there and it has to get out. You know, you don't really.
That's right. Exactly.
Hey, Paul, have you always lived in Oklahoma?
No, I haven't always lived in Oklahoma. I'm from Eastern Oklahoma, and I lived in Texas for 12 years. And we played in Dallas and Fort Worth for that length of time.
Okay. Because you live in Oklahoma now, right?
Yeah, I live in Oklahoma now, unfortunately.
Oklahoma, where the sun... Sorry, I don't know the lyrics of that thing. But that was one of my favorite musicals is Oklahoma. And, of course, John, you live in Texas.
Right.
You're pretty close to me, homeboy, kind of. And see, that's another thing. You know, I of course, I've been really talking about Lochinvar, you know, and they're going, you're a homie. They're calling me a homie because, you know, John's a Texas boy and Paula's Oklahoma. So it's like a Red River interview, if you will. But, you know, I tell you, you guys really rock. I don't think there's a single song that you guys do that just, I just don't think that's really over the top. It's just that outstanding. But I want to tell you something, Paula. One of the comments, once I posted, and I've had y'all's artwork up for a while, and one of the people said, darn, Paula is a tall lady. And I said, yeah, I think she is. So how tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
5'8"? Yeah. You're not like 6-something?
No, I'm 5'8". I just look like I have extremely long legs. I do have extremely long legs.
Yeah, I was fixing to say, what do you mean? You think you have? I mean, you have longer legs than that tree you're standing next to.
Yeah, well, they grow them tall in Oklahoma, what can I say?
Yeah, they grow them tall in Texas, too, so I guess that coming down here and whatever, I mean, that's just, you know, kind of rubbed off and stuff. Oh, man, what that is just absolutely outstanding. Okay, Paula, do you do mostly of, are you mostly the creator, writer of the songs that you guys do?
Well, it just depends. You know, sometimes John comes up with all of the music. It's easier to do that because John is so good, and I trust John with creating the entire musical drama, if you will, and then he presents it to me, and then I just take over with the lyrics and the melody line and whatever else I want to add. That's faster and that's easier, but there's some times when I will have an idea and I'll approach John with it. And I don't read music or anything, you know, like play keyboards, and I, you know, bang it out on the keyboards.
Right.
And I usually have to say, you know, the guitars go, no, 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 you know, and it needs to sound Arabian, and it needs to sound, he's like going, oh, you mean like this? And we're on the same page. We've always been on the same page musically, and that's why we're still together since 1989.
Wow.
He is just a phenomenal guitar player. I think he is one of the best out there, if not the best out there, and I'm bragging on him, but I love him. He's more to me than a brother. You know, I can't imagine me being in this world without John, because he, I hate to sound like Tom Cruise, but he completes me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. And you,
no.
But, you know, yeah, but Paula, you know, I mean, you hit on a very valid point. A perfect example, when I was in high school and I had my rock band, I was fired more times than I can count. I mean, I used to play guitar, but, you know, they fired me because I sucked as a guitar player, but I had a great rock voice. So they come up one day and they say, hey, Dave, we don't, you know, you suck as a guitar player, but you know, we like your voice and we sing it, we suck at singing, so you know, we want you to come back. But I got fired a half a dozen times. But you're right, it's a special blend of personalities to keep a band together, and I mean,
yes.
You and John obviously have proved that.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I've got to tell you, I mean, our relationship, our dynamics, if you will, is very complicated, and it's very interesting because I can't believe that we can get into each other's faces. We can be like inches apart. We can scream at each other at the top of our lungs, and we can say all kinds of terrible, nasty things to each other. But the love is still there, and the admiration and the respect is still there when it's all said and done. And I cannot do that with a single person on the planet. I can't that with anybody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a chemistry there when we're on stage. I mean, and people have come up to us and said, man, when you guys hit that stage, it's electric. It's this and it's that. You know, there's a chemistry there that cannot be beat. And that's true. I mean, I can't deny that. I mean, I can't really explain it. I don't know why, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, and I understand exactly what you're saying, because nobody in their right mind would understand what it is to stand on a stage, have amplifiers, you know, blasting right behind you, having a microphone. Of course, I can relate to you, Paula, because I'm a singer. But, you know, and up there and having, you know, 100 fans or 1,000 fans or 10,000 fans or whatever the number, but just that experience of being live. I mean, there's not a single adrenaline thing I can think of, including skydiving, scuba diving, and skateboarding, that would even come close to the rush it is to be up on the stage. Would you agree with
me? Oh, that is absolutely correct. And I tell you, one of the biggest highs that I've ever had in my life was when we were on stage and John was with me and everything was clicking, and I would look out there in the audience and they were singing the words to our songs. And that would just about make me faint, because I mean, tears would roll down my face because I could not believe that they knew the lyrics to my songs that we had written. That is a feeling that is just incomparable. You can't imagine.
Oh, I can. You know, and of course, I have never claimed to be, and would even know the process. The only song that we did, and we didn't even get to one hit wonder status because we didn't have enough money to bribe everybody. There was a guy that wrote the song for our band and said, "Hey guys, here it is," and he already had the music done. And you said previously when you were talking that, you know, it's sometimes easier when John comes up with the music and then you put in the lyrics, which I never really even thought about that would be easier.
Well, because, like I said, I don't feel that way with just anybody. I've written with several other people as well as John. There has to be a certain amount of trust and respect there, because I'm one of these people that if I think it's a bunch of crap, I'm going to tell whoever, I'm sorry, but I'm not even going to write to that because that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
And John never presents me with a bunch of crap, and he's very modest. And he'll say, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know about this one." And it's usually something that'll blow you away. And I'm like, God, you know, you can't expound on perfection. So I don't even try. You know, when he presents with something, it's usually pretty magical. And it doesn't take me long at all to put lyrics and a melody line to whatever he presents to me. That's the easiest way and the fastest way that we do it. But sometimes, you know, we hash it out together.
Right.
Which is
John,
cool, too.
Yeah. Hey, John, question. When you're writing music, did you have is your education that of, you know, being able, obviously, you know, because some people, like, I'll give you a perfect example. I was in the band when I was in junior high school and stuff, and I knew how to read music, but guitar is a different animal, or was a different animal. You made this one reason why I sucked. Is it really required to a degree, unless you're really talented enough to play by ear? Do you have, like, enough education and stuff to where it's easier to write a song? You see where I'm going? Is it easier to write a song if you've had that musical education, or is it just as easy to write just because you have a feel for music?
Well, I'm an electrical engineer. That's what I would
call
aerospace electrical engineer.
Yeah. Can you play electrical tape?
I've been known to. I took band in high school and junior high like you did, and I learned a little bit, enough music theory to where I can kind of get around if I have to. Most of the music that I write is just, I just hear the whole thing in my head and try and catch it. You know, like you'll hear all the parts at the same time, and I just try and catch all of them. And I started doing the demos. Paula was saying I hand her the finished thing, mostly because I was getting frustrated with going and jamming with people, and you have guys who, you know, didn't really know what they were doing, and they'd be like, "Oh man, let's do this." Let's, you know, I was like,
right.
"Man, that's crap. I'm not going to do that." So I started putting things down on tape and just going, "Here, you know, here's my idea. What do you think?" And they'd play it on tape and go, "Well, yeah, that's pretty good. Let's go with it." You know, and it just made everything easier. But as far as having any real training or anything, I really don't.
Well, don't you guys think to a degree, and I mean, you can give your opinions individually or however you want to do it, but don't you guys think to a degree that the most successful bands are the ones that check their egos at the door?
Yes, but that doesn't always happen because, I mean, I'm going to have to be truthful about it. If you are in the music business and you know that you're good, you're not going to accept anything less than the standards that you put up there. It makes you seem very arrogant to other lesser musicians, okay?
Right.
And it's really not an arrogance. Maybe it is to a certain degree, but it's about the music and it's about what you hear in your head, like John was saying. It's also about feeling.
Exactly.
If John was just a technical player, and we have played with phenomenal technical players before that went to GIT in California and did this and that, but they had no feeling.
Right.
And I write from the heart. I write strictly, if you listen to my lyrics or anything that I write, it is from the heart, and it is going to be about something that matters to me. And I even write about things that I have read, books that I'm passionate about. I read all the time, and I love Anne Rice, and I love her writing. And, for instance, one of the songs, Lasher, on Fire Eyes, is about a book that she had written. But then the rest of them are about feelings and things like that. But John picks up on these feelings, and I don't know how he does it. It's like we're on the same wavelength, and it's really awesome when they're melding together.
Yeah. So when you guys do live performances, I mean, I assume it's just you two are the main ingredients, and then what do you pick? Get friends or whatever to come in to play gigs with you?
We usually have to hire people out. Yeah.
Oh, really? So in other words, when you guys decide, or if you get hired on somewhere and they say, "Yeah, we want you guys for a 3-day gig or whatever, our weekend gig," then you go, "Okay, well, we need a drummer and we need this and we need this." So you guys just get somebody that's just like a contract player?
Well, we know a lot of musicians. If we can't get somebody in there that we already know or have already played with in the past, then
Yeah,
we're just going to have to hire somebody out. Of course, we'll bring them in and they'll have to audition or whatever to be able to play our music, because our music is not the simplest. It may sound simple to a lot of musicians, but I've had guitar players complain about, "Oh, God, you know, why did John do this? You know, why did he put an arpeggio there?"
Exactly.
Or whatever, you know. And
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it seems like it would be simple, but it's really not. Yeah, we hire them out usually.
Well, and it's kind of the state of things too. I mean, you know, in the States in particular, I mean, it's our kind of music isn't the real trendy thing that's really, really big and happening, you know, and it's an older style, and you know, there's just not that many people around that get it anymore.
Well, I hate to disagree with you, John, but I get it. And there's millions of people worldwide that get it. And I got news for you. They listen to Lock and Var. And if they're not a Lock and Var fan, then they just don't have a brain in their head, because it is the type of music that I like. I put in a promo for you guys that, you know, it was a thing where, you know, you guys play the type of music that you want to cut the stereo up full blast, or your iPod, or your hip hop car that you've had, you know, pimped out or whatever, you know, and just drive down the street with the windows down and just blow people off the street. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you guys play. Now, call me old fashioned, I don't care. I think Lochinvar kicks serious ass.
Well,
period.
See, that's the way that I feel. I feel that I don't care what's on the mainstream radio. I think that we do kick ass. John is so modest, I tell you. He just cracks me up.
Well, I don't think I don't know about John. I don't know if I call John modest. In fact, we had to put shackles on John off air because we were afraid he was going to come through the internet on this.
Well, I'm talking about when he's talking to other people. No,
oh,
John
yeah,
is not modest when it comes to stepping on the stage, or you know, he's something else. But that's the reason why I've been hanging with him all these years, is he's something else.
Well, he's obviously a kick-ass guitar player, and I've heard more than my share of rockers, and John, I hope you take that as a compliment. You really kick some serious ass on the old guitar, brother.
Well, thanks.
Let's get into the music. Coming into the show tonight, we entered in with Chatelaine. So tell me about Chatelaine.
Actually, Chatelaine was an old song that I had written several years ago in the 80s. But when I met John, he had this piece of music that he presented to me, and I was listening to it, and it was the same song. I mean, I had written it with another band, and then he had written it somewhere else. I don't know where John had come up with this music. And I was like, oh my God, you know, this is the same song. And I melded it, or we melded it together, and it was kind of like, that's when I knew that John and I were on the very same page, because, I mean, we didn't even know each other, and we had written the same song.
where did the name come from? I mean, where did the name come from?
Chatelaine, like I said previously, I read a lot of books. This was a gothic romance book by Claire Lorimer. It was a beautiful story, and Chatelaine is a French word, and it means keeper of the keys. And a gothic novel usually entails scary, suspense, murder, love, blah, 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 you know.
Exactly, yeah.
And this book had intrigued me so much back in the 80s, mid-80s is when I read it. And I just kind of wrote a song about it, only I kind of embellished it a little bit, you know, added my own storyline. But I just love that name, Chatelaine, the keeper of the keys. I just thought that was so cool and so metal, you know.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me about Closer to the Web, which will be our next song.
John, you need to talk.
Hey, John, what are you doing? Are you in the bathroom, or are you going to the kitchen, or what? Jump in here.
I'm just hanging out. Closer to the Web, that's a weird one, because that's another one where Paula had actually written the words a long time ago, and it had a completely different, it was a completely different song, and I had this demo that I did, and I'm not even going to tell you how old that demo is. It's real old. And I could never get anybody interested in doing it, you know. And I did like five or six different versions of it. You know, I did some words for it. I tried singing on it. It was very, very bad. You'll never hear that. You know, so I just had this weird little, it was just this weird little song, and I felt like it had something. Because it's a little bit different than most of the other stuff that you know that I've done on guitar. It's a little weird. So I believed in it, and I just thought, you know, I'll do something with it someday. Somebody will figure it out. And I played it for Paula, and when I played it for her, it had the other words on it, I think. And she just kind of looked at me and said, "Oh, you mind if I use something old on it?" And I'm like, "No, I don't." And so she just sang that, and that was it. I think it was about that quick.
Wow.
But the song itself has been around for, God, a long time. I think I did that demo in, like, 93.
All right. Is Closer to the Web have to do anything with spiders?
It has to do with wicked women, actually.
You mean the kind that eat the males after they've mated?
Yeah.
The black widow.
That's exactly what that means. Exactly.
Well, you know, if you're a male spider, that can be a good thing, except you end up dying, so.
Yeah, well.
We all got to die someday, right?
Might as well
die like that.
Hey, if you're going to die, die being eaten alive. That's what I always say.
Come on.
Okay, how about a poet and a dreamer?
That's awesome. I've always been into Renaissance music and Celtic music. And John, I think this was a present to me. I mean, I took it as a present because he knew I was into that. And he presented me with this beautiful piece of music. And I listened to it. It just struck my heart like a bolt of lightning. The words came immediately when I was listening to this music. And it was so touching. And if you listen to the lyrics of it, that song is probably one of my favorites. And it probably, if you hear the lyrics of that song, then you will know the heart of Paula Blade. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, I don't think you'd have to say much more, Paula, because I totally agree with you. I think it's just an absolutely gorgeous song.
Thank you.
Okay.
We got a lot of help on that from a good friend of ours, Jeff McMullen. He helped us out with the orchestration on that, and he just did an amazing job on that.
Yes, he did. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. We could get two more people on this thing. We should have thought of that. We could have got Jeff's collaboration on this thing also.
With bright questioning eyes, asking her papa, what will I be? He saw himself and he smiled. I know I'm just a mere little girl, and they tell me with no common sense, will I be glad making my way in this world, or satisfied to pretend? A poet, a dreamer, a writer of songs, and will I have a home? Carpenter, a soldier, a captain of a pirate ship, and is that really wrong? A poet, a sailor, a writer of songs, and will I be alone? A carpenter, a soldier, a stealer, boy's eyes, my baby girl's sweetest smiles, trying to find the answers to an age-old legacy, gazing at me for the guidance of a sage, beholding a saint, can't let it be. And is that really wrong? A poet, a sailor, a writer of songs, and will I be alone? A carpenter, a soldier, a stealer of hearts, and
Okay, tell me about Heart of Stone.
Oh, my God.
That was one where I actually had the title. I think I had the title and I had the song done, and I said, Paula, this song says that it's Heart of Stone here. You know?
Yeah.
And she sort of went off and ran with it. Every now and then I'll get a title and I'll feed it to her if I think it's any good.
Mm-hmm.
That was an awesome
title, and the situation that I was going through at the time, I was like, man, oh man, can I write to this?
All right, I'm gonna stop you there, Paula, because I have a question, and I always like doing these sidebars because as artists talk, sometimes things come up. You know, every single artist that I have showcased so far, without exception, at least two of six songs, the minimum is two, and if you go to the first one, whose artist name I won't repeat, every one of his six songs had to do with a relationship breakup. So, and you know who you are out there.
That's right.
So my question, Paula, and John, and this is for you too. You know, it seems to me that so much inspirational songs nowadays, and of course, country western, every song in the world in country western has to do with relationships, but even on rock, it seems like songs really are pulled from the heart more and more than they used to be. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think it's always been like that, because when it gets down to a person's heart, a person's feelings, and their emotion, and especially about love, you are going to write. If you're a poet or a songwriter or whatever you are, that is when it hits you the hardest. That's where it hits you at home. And people relate to that because that's life. That's everyday life, and
right,
that's what goes on. And if you can get somebody to feel what you have felt when your loved one walked out on you, or you feel like leaving them for whatever reason, if you can get another person to feel the same emotion that you're feeling, then you've got something.
Crystal ball.
Okay, tell me about Sahara.
All righty then.
How come you always laugh when I ask about a song, Paula?
It's like because... you have
it's like you have this insider joke thing with John, you know, that I'm just now I'm being the straight man to.
Well, okay, I'm gonna tell you. Sahara is my desert fantasy, I guess you'd say. It's my desert fantasy. It's just something that I dreamed up in my head that I thought it was beautiful. I love these romance novels, and I love how some of them are crap, you know, and I throw those away. Some of them really know how to write. And I thought, wow, what would it be like to write a fantasy in song, and what would I write about, you know? Right. And I've always had a thing about the desert and the Sahara, Morocco, and all that. And it all had to do with my uncle being in the Air Force, my favorite uncle, and he was stationed in Morocco.
Oh,
and when
really?
I was a little, yes, and he told me some awesome stories, and some of them were romantic. It all comes from there, actually.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead, John.
She'd been trying to get somebody to write her something like that ever since I met her. And tried a few times, and I never got it. And finally, with that one, I got it. But it just took
he
a long
got
time.
It.
It just took a long time to get the thing right, you know.
Well, it's really kind of eerie sounding, you know. I mean, but I just love the hell out of it.
Love the hell out of it too.
Yeah, because it's your fantasy, Paula.
Well, yeah, but you know, when another human being gets your fantasy, like John got it with that music, you know, sometimes he presents me with stuff. I never tell him this because he would get such a big head, but I'm telling you, when he presents me with stuff, I listen to it, and I cry. You know, I have tears rolling down my face because it touches my heart so much that another human being on the face of this earth gets Paula. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
I know exactly.
Yeah. And so it's like, because in everyday life, I'm kind of a recluse, and I'm probably labeled as a weirdo and whatever, and I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. But when somebody like John gets me, and he has for a very long time, that's very special to me.
Well, I can tell in your voice that you have a special kinetic relationship, and that not only are you two unbelievable, outstanding artists in your own rights, individually and collectively, but you know, you're just a couple of really great folks. You know, when they turn around and you look around the world, and you go, well, you know, here's two people that really make a difference. And I think you guys make a difference, not only your personality and your thoughts, but I definitely think you make a difference in your music.
Wow, that's really cool. That's awesome for you to say.
That's
awesome.
About all anybody can really ask for, you know, as far as reward as an artist.
And I think you're right about that.
Together like dancers in the moon.
Okay, before we move into your final song of your show, which is Fire Eyes, let's talk about Fire Eyes a little bit. Isn't it the name of one of your albums?
Yes, it's the last CD that we came out with. We both kind of agreed on that should be the title of our CD. Yeah.
And of course, obviously the last song that we're playing tonight is called Fire Eyes, which is, I guess, the album was named after the song, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had to call it something.
Yeah. Hey, here's another group of songs, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, we already used the self-titled thing with the first album, so we had to come up with a name.
So. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you couldn't use. You could have done like Led Zeppelin, been Lochinvar 2, Lochinvar 3.
That did get considered, believe me.
You know, I mean, that's like.
I usually do the artwork, so I'm trying to find, trying to look for something that I can actually do. You know.
Yeah, that's right. That you're capable of creating.
Exactly.
Hey, I want to tell you something. This, the new artwork that I have for the Rabbit Zone now, thank God for Jeff from the Ray Gun Girls, because, I mean, he's a professional graphics guy, you know, and he said, and I guess I should have taken this in the spirit that, of course, he didn't say, Dave, your artwork sucks, but he said, you know, I think I can give you something that maybe is a little bit more refined on what you're trying to create with the Rabbit Zone. I said, yeah, sure, whatever. You know, I mean, people, you know, I get you know, 300 or 400 emails a week on people trying to suggest stuff to me. But I was so blown away by his artwork, you know, I had to go back and redo everybody. So
we'd like to thank him for that, because really cool. We're going to use it as well on our webpage. That's really awesome.
Well, yours really looks cool because, in fact, you know what? You know what you're gonna have to do, Paul,
and I don't mean to,
you're gonna have to put like little tags underneath the tree, and you, and one of them will say tree, one of them will say Paula, because you're both so tall. Sorry.
Alrighty then.
Where's the Hey, where's that drum roll when you need one?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I you know, before we roll into this last song, I just want to say again that I have so looked forward to the interview with both of you guys. And I want to say it again, and I know this is going to sound redundant, and everybody's going to go, oh, he's a homer, but I don't care. You know, Paula, you are absolutely one of the most outstanding, talented female rockers since Pat Benatar, Janis Joplin, Stevie Nicks, and Grace Slick. You rock my world, kiddo.
Wow, thank you.
And John, you know, you don't suck too bad at the guitar either, you know.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, you don't suck.
Yeah. Maybe, hey, John's going, well, where's my correlation to Jimi Hendrix? Or are you... You know, or Paige, or some of those guys.
I'm in my own category, I guess.
That's right. You certainly are.
Well, you certainly are. Well, I didn't want to build your hopes up too much, because I know you have this big, you know, this big contractor degree and stuff, and you know.
Yeah. But that's okay. We're still looking for big major labels. We don't care how much John makes. Paula is poor, okay?
Well, listen. You can count on old Dave here to push the hell out of Lochinvar. I guarantee you.
All righty then.
But anyway, I want to tell both of you, honest, and you know, and all kidding aside, you know, I really have just been blown away by your music. Your music to me really rekindles those spirits that everybody seemed to have in the 80s and the 90s. And as you said before, Paula, I mean, you know, people are so into this, the hip hop and, you know, all this other stuff, you know, and I'm sorry, you know, I don't get it, but you know, that's just me. I just like songs that sit there that you just want to just, you know, that are easy to listen to, that have a significant beat to it. And that makes you feel like you're not 58 in my case, you know. And I mean, I can cut your music on and I can flash back to the times to where, you know, I felt I was smart as I was or whatever, if you know what I'm talking about there.
Right. Yeah. I love the metal genre. I mean, to me, that defines a generation which John and I were part of. Decadent, just willing to put ourselves out there. Now, mind you, there were some that were very questionable that John and I would always make fun of. There were bands out there like Dokken and Queensryche, and I don't want to say some bands because they've made me mad here recently, but there were some bands out there that were really about the music and really about great guitar playing and great singing and talked about something that was real instead of a bunch of fluff. And John and I have always tried to do that, have always tried to make sense in our music and have always tried to give something to people that enjoy that genre of music instead of a bunch of crap.
Yeah, and I know. Yeah, and I know exactly what you're talking about, and it really gets down to what you believe in your heart. And you've said it before, Paula. I mean, you know, because you're a romantic at heart, and you know, you love books and you love romance and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it carries over in your music, and because you and John are so in tune, I strongly mm-hmm. believe that John's a romantic at heart to a degree.
Yeah, but he would never admit that. Never.
But see, I can sit there and call him a romantic, and it doesn't matter. Because, you know, who cares what Dave Rabbit thinks, right?
Yeah, it's very important.
My job was to, you know, plaster people up against the back wall, you know, with a guitar. That was my goal.
Well, I think you've met your goal, John, because, I mean, you're playing, obviously, you know, I'm just a real big fan of your talent in the guitar, even though I do kind of kid you and just gave you your compliment is that it didn't suck. But, you know, it really doesn't suck. You're really very talented, and you two just make a terrific 1-2 knockout punch in my estimation as far as this kind of music. And I guarantee you, once we get this up in the World Wide Web, it's going to develop a life of its own. And I guarantee you, if there's not going to be a Lochinvar fan somewhere worldwide besides me, then maybe they're not listening, because it's some of the most fantastic music that I have come across since I started these shows. And I want to thank both of you for your time, your effort, but most especially, John, I want to thank you for your time and your music. And Paula, I want to thank you for your time and your talent and your music, and especially that fabulous female rocker voice. Okay, well, I got, you know, before we get off the air and everything, let me ask you one more question. You know, there's so much going on in the world, John and Paula, as far as, you know, our troops overseas in Iraq. And of course, you know that I'm a huge supporter of the troops, and that I firmly believe that, you know, you can support the troops even though you may not support the war that they happen to be fighting. And I'm just curious, what are y'all's positions on that?
Well, I guess I'm going to go ahead, John.
You're 100% right. You definitely, you have to support the troops. They're putting their lives on the line for us. And speaking for myself, I really appreciate their sacrifice, their effort, the time away from their families. And, you know, you just can't say enough about them.
That's right. I was telling Dave off the air that my heart belongs to the troops, because I had a son, or have a son, I should say, thank God, that served 3 tours of duty in Afghanistan and 2 in Iraq. And I know what the military families go through, especially the mothers. There is not a better military in the world. There is not a better trained military in the world. And I am so proud of you young men and women out there. I feel like that I'm the mother to you all, or the sister, or whatever, but I am so proud of you. You go, whatever you feel, whether you're against it or not, you go when your commander-in-chief tells you to go. And you put your life on the line and you sacrifice everything for this country. That is the heart of a lion. That's what America is all about, is the bravery that you show. And I just love you all. I love you all. And if there's anything that I can do, I'd love to come out there to Iraq and perform for you guys and girls. So my son's probably going, no, you're not going there. Because, no, Mom, you're not doing it. But
right now. Security.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. But I love them. I just cannot believe how brave they are and what they've gone through and what they've done for us. I just can't believe it. And I've written many songs, A Poet, A Dreamer, if you listen to the lyrics of that, that has to do with when my son went to war. At the end of it, you'll hear it and how I felt about that. And I've written several songs about that, about what a mother goes through, because there's not very many people that talks about that.
Right.
But a mother has to let a man be a man. And even though she may not want her baby to be in harm's way, when he sits her down and says, I've got to go, Mom, because my country needs me, cannot believe how overwhelming and how proud, even though your heart is sinking and breaking because your baby is going to be in harm's way, but you cannot believe how brave. It's overwhelming.
And I don't think we could say much more than that. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to The Rabbit Zone, showcasing tonight my absolute favorite rocker band so far, Lochinvar. Remember, you don't have to support a war to support the troops. Peace, everybody.
just experienced the Dave Rabbit and the Rabbit Zone. For more fun audio and video, visit Dave's official podcast home at www.daverabbit.podomatic.com. Until next time, this is Springer from AboveTopSecret.com. Peace.